One thing I studied a little bit about, and that was whether we need to obey God or obey mankind. God has certain rules and set up for us, as well as mankind has rules for us. Sometimes they conflict with one another. So which ones are we going to obey? Are we going to obey man's rules and regulations, or are we going to obey God's? So that's a question we'll kind of touch on a little bit today. But let's go back and reflect on a few things first. Kind of set the stage a little bit. One day shortly after Jesus ascended into heaven, Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, this was the ninth hour, or it would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon at our hours. This was shortly after the Pentecost celebration, and the crowds that had gathered for Pentecost had left town, gone back to their homes. The local people had gone to their homes as well, and the city had quieted down quite a lot. And now Peter and John are heading up to the temple. I wondered a lot about how large this temple exactly was. It was built by Herod the first, the king that we know of for his infamous killing of the children back in the early days when Jesus was a baby. Herod tried to do him in. Of course, thank goodness he was not successful. But he was the one that started this temple. This thing covered 36 acres, so it was huge. One thing that Dean mentioned this morning in his lesson that I wondered about too, and that was that it says several times that people picked up stones and were going to stone Jesus. They're going to try to stone Peter and John here a little bit later. I was wondering where they got these stones from. Were there piles of stones left in the courtyard of the temple, or just exactly what? But it seems like stones were readily available to throw at people. Always something that kind of fascinated me a little bit. There were 8 gates in the temple wall there that people could enter. We know about the eastern gate that was led to the Mount of Olives that Jesus used from time to time. There was the cattle gate or the sheep's gate where they brought in animals for sacrifice. The one that Peter and John are using is called the Beautiful Gate. I tried to find out just exactly where that was. Couldn't find it. Nobody knows. But it was must have been a main gate because it had lots of ornamental iron and brass and so forth like that. So it was called the Beautiful Gate. Well, here's Peter and John on their way up to the Temple Mount, and they're going to pass through this beautiful gate. And it was, being a main gate, would have been an ideal spot for someone who was lame and begging to sit down or be carried to that spot because there were a lot of people moving in and out. So when Peter and John came up to this gate, they saw this man begging. He was asking for alms there at the gate. And this man was over 40 years old. And he had been lame from birth and had never walked before. And he was begging Peter and John for funds. And Peter said, well, Acts 3, 6 through 10, we see the remarks that Peter made to him. The answer, Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine everybody gathered out there in the courtyard of the temple, and all of a sudden here's this guy showing up, and he's jumping up and leaping and praising God and running, and he must have been excited beyond belief. They knew who this man was. They had passed by him for how many years? 40? So they knew who he was. They knew it was him that was sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So then Peter and John started preaching to the people about Jesus. And of course, their preaching greatly disturbed the leading Jewish religious leaders. It wasn't that long ago, in fact, Peter tells them, calls them murderers later on. But these were the same people who crucified our Lord. And they were running the temple. Now, remember that the Jews never had a king. The king was appointed by the Roman emperor. So there was a king there, but he wasn't a Jew. So the ruling people of the Jews, the ones who made the decisions for the Jews, was the high priest and the council, which was located there in the temple in Jerusalem. And so these people had the power of life and death. They weren't to be fooled with. So now here Peter and John is just causing them all kinds of stress. They're upset. In Acts 4, chapter 4, 18 through 22, the leaders said they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen or heard. But speak the things which we've seen and heard. So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. The man was over 40, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. It's kind of interesting to me that you remember that this man, Peter, right now, and John, Peter is risking his life. They called it blasphemy. Dean mentioned it this morning, which was punishable by death. And so they were putting their lives on the line in front of these counselors and the high priest. It kind of makes me compare the Peter of not so long ago, if you remember, in John 2, Peter denied Christ three times in a row. And it says that Jesus turned and looked at him when the crow, or when the rooster crowed. And it must have been a bitter pill to swallow. It says Peter went away weeping bitterly. And now here we have a complete turnaround. Here's Peter risking his life in public, disobeying these counselors and these rulers in the synagogue. So once they let him go, what did Peter and John do? They just kept right on preaching and healing people. They just kept on doing this, healing people and doing miracles. Went ahead and kept preaching Jesus and defying these counselors. So what happened to them? They were prisoned. They were put in prison overnight. The next morning, they brought them before the council, and they were told again, don't speak the name of Jesus again. Here's Peter standing up again, defying these rulers, proclaiming the name of Jesus in front of these powerful people. Let's turn over to Acts 4, 15 through 21, if you'd like, and let's read that. Acts 4, 15 through 21. Let's read these passages. But when they had commanded them to go out of the council, they conferred among themselves. What are we going to do with these men? For indeed there is a notable miracle that has been performed by these men, and it's everybody knows it. It's manifest to all of them that are in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So they called them back into the council and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things we have seen or heard. So here he is, denying them again, using the same words. So when they threatened him again, they let him go. They couldn't find anything how they could punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for what was done. In Acts 5, 17 through 20, then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. I have no doubt that there was a man right there in front of all this, taking part in all this, whose name was Saul. We're taught, and Paul tells us, that he was brought up and educated at the feet of the high priest Gamaliel. And that's the man who was controlling the Jews at this particular time. So I have no doubt that the personage of Saul was there and active. We know later on in Acts, we're told that he persecuted, he went out of town, took people and put them in jail who were Christians. Some of them even had murdered. So Saul was doing the best he could to persecute the people, the Christians who believed in Jesus. And so I think that he was there. But they laid their hands on him and threw him in jail. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out and said, go back, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Acts 5, 26 through 29. Then the captain with the officers went out and got them, brought them in without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And here they are again. High priest asked them, didn't we tell you more than once? Strictly commanded you not to teach in this name. And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Well, We all know that Jesus' blood was already on him. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So apparently, what must have happened was Peter and John at first were on their own. But now it says Peter and the other apostles. So the apostles must have gathered the next morning to back up and support Peter and John. The apostles knew that they had been commissioned by God to preach Jesus. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. God is the highest authority. So what happens? The rulers had them beaten and then released them. Peter and John could have made life a much more pleasant situation if they had just obeyed the council. But they had a choice, obey God or obey man, and they chose the course to obey God. And so they were beaten and punished for their beliefs. Remember Stephen in Acts, the 7th chapter, stoned to death by these same people. Saul was there. Same people that had threatened Peter and John. He lost his life when he could have saved it just by obeying these counselors rather than obeying God. But he chose to give his life up. And he was stoned to death. Even at the time of death, he said, please, Lord, don't lay this crime on their shoulders. The Bible is just full of people who were persecuted for following God rather than mankind. We remember Daniel in the lion's den that refused to obey Nebuchadnezzar. We remember he and his friends were thrown in the lion's den for the same crime. Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, we read about his punishments for disobeying the men. Paul persecuted the saints, some even to death, as I mentioned before, and in the end, he gave his life up as well. There are just lots of others that we can read about and talk about that chose to serve God rather than to submit to the rulers of the time. Look at us. Obeying God rather than man may prove costly to us. But to those who believe in Jesus, submit to his authority, obey his commands, and persevere through all trials and persecution, they're the ones that are going to inherit a new life in Christ. As James wrote in James 1:12, blessed is a man under trial who perseveres. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which he has promised to those that love him. Let's talk a few moments about obeying man. We're taught to obey and be subject to the governing authorities that we live under. Romans 13:1-7 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, who resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what's good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he's God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I remember when I was a young man, I was living in a little town called Banning, California, and I was commuting every day over to Riverside going to college. It was about 30 miles, and I just did this on a daily basis. Then I got a job over there as well, so I was really doing it 7 days a week almost. But I was riding with my dad one time. We were going that same route, and I was pointing out all the places where police officers hid and were. At that particular time, the California Highway Patrol were not allowed to have radar. Local cops and the sheriff's departments had radar, but the California Highway Patrol, they needed a law passed for them to have permission. But I was pointing out all the places that I knew that police officers and CHP hid on that 27-mile route. And I remember my dad saying, well, you know, if you just drive speed limit, obey the law, you wouldn't have to worry where they're at. Well, yeah, you know, but I remember my dad telling me that. I just kind of felt kind of foolish, you know. Well, what about going, what's the speed limit on Beltline Road? I was coming here this morning and a guy passed, must have been doing 80 miles an hour. People were passing me and looking at me like I was an idiot. Well, what about that? That's a rule of mankind. Are we supposed to obey that rule? Are we supposed to go 60 when it says 55 or 70, whatever? That's something of a conscious thing that we have to think about. We can be subject to obey the laws, subject to the authorities. In Titus 3:1-2, Paul is writing to Titus, and he's telling him to instruct the Cretans. Well, these were a kind of a tough people. They had not... Somebody said all Cretans are liars. Paul said, that's true. So he agreed with that. But on this isle of Crete, Paul had established a church. And he left Titus there. And he instructed Titus to talk to the Cretans, remind them to be subject to the rulers and the authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Don't speak evil of anyone. Be peaceable and gentle, showing all humility to all men. I think we can be subject and obey almost all the rules. The majority of things, certainly, that are governing authorities lay upon us without any problems. We may not like what they lay on us. You know, some of us, you know, right now we're you know, this country's in trouble with inflation, prices going up like crazy in the stores, gasoline prices. When I bought gas the other day for the lawnmower, it was $5.40 a gallon for regular. Somebody says it's going to be up about, in California, in some places, it's over $7 for a gallon of regular. And this happened, you know, what, 2 years ago, it was $2.19. Now, we may not like what they're doing to us, but, and we may protest it to some degree, but, you know, what are we going to do? We might think it's unfair, but we have to remember who's in authority. If you're employed by an employer, your obligation is to obey what they tell you to do. Now, the Bible doesn't give us any definite instructions as employees, but it does give instructions to bond servants, and I believe these instructions are applicable to employees today. In Colossians, third chapter, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with just eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have an obligation as employees to employers. God says, do the best you can. Do it heartily. Do it sincerely. You owe that employer. As long as he doesn't make you do something that is not according to God's will. You have a responsibility to do the best you can for that employer. So what happens when we receive instructions which are contrary to the Lord's word? Should Christian employees obey their employers? There may come a time employers tell us to do something contrary to God. So we're going to have to make a decision whether to obey our employer or obey God. The same holds true when we're confronted with orders from the rulers in power. There may be other circumstances in your life that where people tell us to do something that is contrary to God's word, contrary to the principles that have been laid down by Christ. We must decide whether we're going to obey man or obey God. If we obey God rather than man, there may be some uncomfortable consequences. But pleasing God should be our highest desire. As a true Christian, we should decide what to do and what God wants us to do. His love and eternal gifts can't be matched here on earth. So God does give us a choice. God has made us free to choose. Do we choose mankind or do we choose God? Though Christians are called to respect earthly authority, our loyalty and our love should be rooted in our love for God. Obedience should be rooted in Christ. We're called to obey God rather than man, not out of obligation or compulsion, but with joy. kind of change tack just a little bit for a few moments. One of my favorite songs that I remember from long ago, and we still sing it from time to time, is "When Upon Life's Billows." Words of the chorus still ring. Count your blessings, count them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. This song is kind of a favorite of mine because it reminds me of how blessed I am and how thankful I should be to God just for the everyday things. And so you can count your blessings. How many of us do that? I don't do it every day. I do it once in a while. I think about God's blessings. And I have to stop and think, pause, and give some serious thought to how richly blessed we are. Sometimes we get so involved in our daily tasks, so much energy, spend so much energy thinking of those tasks that we need to do, what we need to do to accomplish the problems that come up, to forget the rich blessings that God has given us. So it is nice to sit and pause and just give some serious thought to all those wonderful blessings that come from Him. In James chapter 1, we find, "Do not be deceived, brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father, with whom there's no shadow of turning." Each of us have received different blessings in our lives. So we need to remind ourselves just about some of those blessings. God has blessed all of mankind. Let's look at Matthew 5, verse 43 through 45. "You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And pray for those that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Our Father in heaven sends us blessings on us, whether we are just or unjust. He's given us the sun to give us light, to warm us, to cause plants to grow. Beauty, and you can see it when from space they take pictures. It's an absolutely incredible sight to see the cast off this life. I'll get a chance to see that. It'd be amazing what God has provided for, whether we're good or whether He's given us an earth of great beauty. Flowers, how beautiful they are. Just absolutely amazed at them. We're far main lights of the city are. How beautiful the moon. God provides us with a wide variety of plants, and as well as a wide variety of meat to choose from. We have clothes to wear, houses to live in, to sleep on, cars and other types of transportation are available to us. If it's too cold, we have heaters in our house. If it's too warm, we have coolers. Most of us are blessed with friends and family who fill our lives with love and companionship. We're given freedoms to say and do almost anything we want, anything we choose. He's given us bodies that we can interact with others, and we can, our bodies, you ever look at pictures in medical? I know Nolan has studied this for a long time, but we who are not in the medical field, have you ever looked at, really looked at bodies in a magazine or bodies in a medical journal or anything like that? It's absolutely perfect in design. I feel sorry for these people who don't believe that there's a God in heaven. Everything is just too fine-tuned. Everything is orderly and in its place. God has given bodies, bodies that heal itself under most circumstances. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." I just made a short list of just a few chapters in certain books that list some of the spiritual blessings that we enjoy. The Bible is full of all the spiritual blessings that we enjoy. You can't turn from one book to the other without reading something about how God has treated us. Ephesians 1, we're redeemed and our sins forgiven. Romans 5, we're justified by our faith and we have peace with God. Romans, we have righteousness based on our faith. Ephesians 1, we're adopted as God's children. Ephesians 4, we're given God's grace. Ephesians 1:13 and three other passages, we are given the Holy Spirit to lead us and comfort us. Hebrews 7, Romans 8, we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. These are just a few of the many spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with. Sometimes our physical blessings are taken from us. We might lose a family member. We just had a memorial service for Brother John's wife, Cheryl, just a week ago. We might lose our health. We've all, especially the older folk here, have had our share of problems with our health. You know, the joy in our lives is taken from us when these things happen. Our government may make a decree that takes some of our freedoms away from us. Lots of countries are experiencing that situation now We're very fortunate that we live in the United States. It's not the most perfect country in the world, but it's better than most. And we enjoy freedom that many others don't. We find that we're just blessed with all those things that we have available to us. But God has given us freedom, and we talked a little earlier about obeying mankind or obeying God. So we do. He's given us that choice to do what we want. Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's constant and true. For this reason, we can always rejoice in the Lord for the blessings that He gives us. Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, we've talked about choices and whether or not we want to obey man or God. We've talked about the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings that God has given us. We've had choices offered to us. There's one being offered now. Matthew 7 tells us there are two gates. One is wide and the way is easy. There are many who will enter this gate to destruction. Wide open, it's where most people are going to go through, but it's the way to destruction. The second is narrow, not very wide. Jesus said that the way is hard, but it leaves the road to life. Very few that there will find it. Well, you can make that choice today. I don't know if there's never been baptized. We have water prepared for it. Be a great opportunity to start a new life. One that first baptized, I was like 17 or 18 years old. I had been raised in the church all my life. My dad was a preacher. But for some reason, I just kind of kept putting it off and putting it off. Until one day I thought, well, that's not very smart. Of course, when you're young, you think you're going to live forever. Nothing's going to happen to you. Well, we know that that's not true. But you can convince yourself of that. And so I thought, well, I better get right with God. And so I was baptized. It's something I've never regretted. I've gone back against the Lord more than once. I've made mistakes more than one time. Gracious, the Lord is kind and merciful, and if I ask Him in sincerity, I know He's going to forgive me of those shortcomings. There may be some people here in that situation today that have made the right choice, that have been baptized, that have their sins forgiven, and yet for some reason they've made mistakes since then. We all do. God says, well, he made us human. You know, he is going to put stumbling blocks in front of us to test our faith. Sometimes we fall over those stumbling blocks. But he's given us a way to make amends. How can you be any, you know, what a wonderful thing that the Lord has given us. So if there's any like that my situation that I was in, have been in from time to time, if you need our prayers, please let us know. If you'd like to be buried in baptism, let us know that too. Like I say, there's water ready and waiting.